Chapter 165. "Sometimes I think we could lose you up here," Dorian says, and Llewellyn sighs, face tilted toward the sunlight like she were a sunflower, rather than the poppy Varric names her after. Poppies for moons and stars, sunflowers for sun and flames. Poof, there goes the Inquisitor, gone Avar.
"It's so peaceful here," she says, and she looks so incredibly at home in these trees,
as if she popped out of the bark, a paler sort of fruit or flower. Llewellyn smiles like spring and blooming, gentle frost-kissed things.
"I could die here, I feel."
Dorian stares at her, and she turns to smile at him.
"It is a good thing."
"Oh, I don't want to think about dying." Llewellyn's smile goes from blooming to gleaming.
"You're a necromancer."
"I still don't want to think about you dying."
"It's a good thing,"
she repeats, turning to survey the valley. The air is cold and crisp, oddly sweet in a way that Dorian associates with forest floors and autumn. With her.
"I feel like my bones could grow here, become a tree, a beautiful tree. It's more a home for my bones than the dales or the dearth."
Llewellyn raises her arms towards the sky, and Dorian has to look away from the flash of the sun through the mark.
"Dorian, I want to be planted here."
"You aren't an actual plant, you realize."
"Dorian."
"Well, how do we know that you'll go first?" There are 1,000 things Llewellyn can say to that, should say to that, and Dorian waits for them. But because she's a good person, she doesn't say any of them. Instead, she looks at him, smile going from gleaming to whispering, and she leans towards him, a poppy swaying. Dorian leans towards her, as far as he dares past the safety rail. A pathetic attempt at a safety rail. And they lace their fingers together, the sun of her anchor mark against his warm mana-clothed palm.
"Dorian,"
she says, something hungry and low in her voice, something that prickles at Dorian's skin.
"Dorian, I could die here, Dorian. I could rest here."
"Don't," Dorian thinks. "Not yet." Dorian squeezes her hand that he knows hurts her, because she thinks she hides it well, but she is Dorian's best friend. His friend. He knows the tightening of her eyes and what it means when her smile goes to simmering. "That would make 2 Inquisitors," Dorian says. "You think this place is out to collect them all?"
"I thought I dreamed you," Llewellyn says, and Solas touches his fingers to her temple.
"Perhaps you did. Go back to sleep, Inquisitor."
Llewellyn yawns, but sits up and smiles. They have no trouble seeing each other in the darkness of the wastes. They both turn to look over the sands from the open tent flap.
"Did you not want to sleep?" she asks him.
"The veil is thin here. So much history, so many deaths." Solas breathes in the cool air. "Yet I do not feel in the mood for such dreams. And you?"
"I thought I was still dreaming, and I was just talking to you in my dream," Llewellyn says.
She stretches out on the ground, placing her upper body out of the tent and onto the sand.
"The night sky is beautiful here. So many stars. And the moon is so large, like I could hold it."
Words about ambition and holding the sky, reaching too far. "Not tonight, though. Not tonight." Solas rests a hand on the back of her leg, tracing the line of vaseline he knows is there, with his index finger. He feels her skin and muscles pull underneath this touch. "Are your feet well?" he asks.
"Yes," she says. "I think I'm getting used to the hot sand."
"We should travel by night instead. You almost fainted earlier."
"I'll be fine," Llewellyn says. "I'm learning."
Solas hums. "As you say." They watch the sky.
"If I never left my clan, I don't think I would have learned so much, hurt so much, loved so much," she says. "Is that why you left your people?"
"My people?"
"You always say, my people, when you talk," she says.
Solas closes his eyes. "I did not think you would catch that nuance."
"When you live your life in a world where the difference between us and them is the difference between life and death, you live by those sorts of words," Llewellyn says. "But that doesn't answer the question."
"Yes and no," Solas says. "Forgive me, I cannot explain it."
"Will not."
"Both."
"All right."
"Thank you."
"I trust you."
"I know." Solas squeezes her leg, soft and so very, very pliant and trusting. "Thank you." She stops crying after. She just stops. There was a time, Varric thinks, when they couldn't get her to stop crying, screaming, getting angry, getting hurt, getting upset. There was a time when they would all probably have cut off their own left arms to get her to stop those tears. But now she doesn't cry. Not at all. Llewellyn smiles at him as she passes, wan and somehow paper-like. Poppies die after flowering sometimes. Her stag holds very, very still. She rode into the Winter Palace on an armored charger. She's riding out on her own terms. It's right, Varric thinks. It's right this way. The stag is very quiet, very still. Varric can't look him in the eye. No one can. It's like the stag is saying something. Something no one wants to hear. So they turn their eyes away and don't. Llewellyn's hand brushes the stag's nose and she closes her eyes and whispers something. The stag is still. Silent. Cullen and Blackwell both kneel to help her up. She looks at them. Fond. More paper. Varric feels something in his chest crack. Just a little. Like when he watched Hawk lead the way out of the Deep Roads. And when he saw Hawk off before leaving Kirkwall. Llewellyn lets them swing her up onto the stag's bare back, and she wobbles a little, the stump of her arm awkwardly jerking before she finds her balance. She looks out over all of them, assembled there, in the courtyard in front of the palace. Paper and petals that are about to blow away, and Varric only hopes that they can catch her again someday. She hasn't cried. She hasn't spoken one way or the other. She's just quiet, smiling paper. Sparkler is worried about her. Hell, they all are. But she's different now. She's not the same. Not quite Poppy. Not the red poppies she told him she liked best. Not the ones that would reach for the sun. The swaying ones. More like the faded ones. The ones in the moon. The ones that bleed milk of dreams. Llewellyn guides the stag forward without words, and everyone lowers their eyes as she passes. She stops her stag right in front of Varric. She says, in a low, low voice that isn't Poppy, isn't the Inquisitor, isn't really a voice he's heard her use.
"You were wrong. We are going to need something bigger than a miracle for this."
His mind is called to a time before and beyond. The first opening of the breach. The words exchanged then. And then she's gone, her stag carving his way through them all without protest, towards the gates that swing open on silent hinges for her.